Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the Pony Stampede podcast. I am your host, Jordan Hoffeditz, and pretty much using this podcast as a basketball rant and kind of a rambling going on 9 games into the season, 3 losses in a row. That includes a really bad loss to a previously winless Jackson State, and then just a disappointing loss Wednesday night, in a game where for the first 16, 17 minutes, this group kind of gave you hope that maybe they had figured some things out, maybe they had turned a corner, and maybe they were going to kind of get it together. And then the final 3 minutes of the first half and pretty much the entire second half tore those hopes up into pretty small confetti. I think that's probably the most frustrating thing is at times, this group, there was that spurt at Dayton. There was, really the first half and a couple minutes against A&M down in College Station. Obviously you have to know who the opponent is, but the Lamar game, to an extent, where you really kind of felt like, there are some things coming together, they're kind of building something. And then, for the first half, for most of the first half, you kind of saw it in full force. The defense was playing really, really well. They were sharp. They were on top of things. They were getting either turnovers or defensive rebounds, and then, turning that into quick offense, getting down the floor, going in transition, making shots, taking good shots, making good passes, kind of all the things that have been missing were all there for 16 or 17 minutes. And then, at the end of the first half and pretty much the entire second half, it all just reverted back to bad turnovers, bad passes, lazy offense, lazy defense, no rebounding. I think that was one of the most shocking things from last night was the rebounding numbers from the first and second halves. In the first half, SMU out-rebounded Arizona State 24-17. In the second half, Arizona State out-rebounded SMU 24-10. And that was just, I think the only player that, and even Sam, who had 12 rebounds, 9 of those came in the first half, only 3 in the second half. But that was still, by far the leading rebounder in the second half for the Mustangs. I think coming into the season, there weren't exactly high hopes for this group. There were a lot of question marks, so many new faces, a new coach that people weren't really thrilled about to begin with. Obviously 2 massively key pieces in KD and Bandamel decide to transfer. The only 2, recruits in the high school recruiting class end up somewhere else. You end up bringing in 8 quality transfers, I think 10 or 11 total transfers from the portal, doing the exact opposite of what Coach Lanier said he wanted to do in his introductory press conference, but kind of had to out of necessity. And I think you see why he doesn't like it. You can't force chemistry. You can't force a lot of these things in one off season. And there's just nothing. There's no foundation. There's nothing that's been built. Even kind of a veteran guy like Zach Nuttall, it's still his 3rd head coach in 3 years. He's, guys like him and Zurich Phelps and Jalen Smith and some others are back at SMU as returning players, but they didn't play much. And they certainly didn't have the magnitude of the roles they have now because of who was here, and to an extent who you thought was then going to be here the next year. And so it's all just kind of been this perfect storm. But I mean, the Lanier hire, bit of a head scratcher, but you know, the first thing he does is he gets a former five star in Samuel Williamson to transfer. You know, he gets a four star in Xavier Foster, and you know, there are conference players of the year and conference rookies of the year and all of these, you know, some seemingly pretty quality pieces coming in, and just none of it has been cohesive, and none of it has really shown that ability on the court much at all this year. You know, Zirk Phelps, very, very talented basketball player, but you're asking him to do probably too much right now. He's not a point guard, but you're asking him to be your point guard while also being your leading scorer and to do some things that I think through nine games are clearly outside of his comfort zone. He doesn't look comfortable doing some things. At times his first thing that he does, he's not looking to make a play via pass or anything like that, or let anything set up. He's gonna, you know, fling up a three or drive wild to the basket and hope, you know, that it goes in, he gets fouled or anything. And more often than not, it doesn't go in and they don't call the foul. But that's been a problem. You know, obviously Samuel Williamson does not look like a former McDonald's All-American right now. He's a hustle guy. He's an effort guy. He does a lot of things well. His offense and shooting has been pretty bad. And I don't know what the fix there is, you know. Coach talks about how much time he spends in the gym working on it and shooting and everything else, and it's still not translating into games. Then there's the body language. You know, I think, you know, Zach's kind of taken on that leadership role and veteran guy, even though, you know, he's been here as long as anybody. But I think you saw it in Wednesday night's game, that kind of when he got frustrated and let that frustration show, the team kind of fed off of that from him a little bit. He had kind of been that glue holding it together a little bit in some games. And when he kind of let it unravel a little bit, everybody else kind of let it unravel a little bit. I think you saw, you know, a lot of body language from Zurich and really from everybody throughout that second half that just was bad body language, and just kind of looked like a team that wanted that game to be over, wanted to be anywhere else but on that floor playing that game, and like a group that wasn't really interested in trying to get things together. So it's really weird, you know. Part of me, and maybe I'm just dumb, still thinks that there are a couple things clicking away from being a halfway decent team. I don't know that I'd say good. Certainly wouldn't say great, but better than they've been so far this season. I had kind of, you know, in looking at this team and looking at the way the season goes, I kind of hoped it would have clicked by now. You know, you're about to play a TCU team that's, you know, picked to be a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, sleeper team on a neutral court, but it's in Fort Worth. Then you're off for a little bit. You go to Hawaii for three games over Christmas, and then it's conference play. You know, you're into the final four games of ones that don't matter to get ready. You know, I wrote about them not being in must-win mode yet, but they've got to play better, and I don't know that they've played better. They've shown it in spurts. They've shown it at times, but they certainly haven't put a full 40 minutes together. The closest thing to that was against Lamar, and sorry, but that was against Lamar. So there are just a lot of questions, and it's a lot of, you know, is coach doing enough to get these guys ready? Are they taking the coaching? Is just everyone in over their heads? You know, I like Coach Lanier. He says the right things. I don't know. I mean, that doesn't make you a good coach. That doesn't create wins. I do think there does have to be some patience with this. I think looking at what was left for him wasn't exactly stellar. I think it might take a little bit of time, but I think there should be some disappointment that this team is performing like it's performing. You know, I think you can take playing hard and the other team just being better, playing hard and just being out executed, playing hard and some other things. And I'm not sure that that's what this team has given through 9 games. I think, you know, you look at the schedule and realistically through 9 games, what, maybe this team should have 4 wins, possibly 5 instead of the 3. You know, the Dayton loss, you know, obviously at A&M, the Arizona State game with the way they're playing, you know, I think the 2 you look at are obviously the Jackson State. That's pretty inexcusable. And I think the Louisiana overtime loss is a tough one. Again, you kind of go to it going up to Dayton, who was ranked at the time. You know, I don't know if that should have been an expected win. You know, I think the New Mexico game, more so than losing, was how they lost. You know, losing by 21, and, you know, that was the game where they talked about kind of giving up and quitting on the game. And I think you saw a little bit of that again in what probably should have been a 20-point loss at the end of the with A&M and Arizona State. And again, what's just so frustrating with this group is I think against Arizona State, you know, you saw it. You saw things click. And you saw things work, and you saw kind of how it's supposed to happen with really good effort on defense, turning into offense, kind of that connectedness to it. And then you saw that when they just stop caring and don't put in that effort on defense, they have no chance offensively because there's not much that they're doing in the half court or that they can do in the half court to put points on the board. I mean, you know, they went over 8 minutes from the end of the first half to the start of the second half without scoring. It was closer to 9 when you take away the free throw that was made that stopped the run. Between, you know, shots from the floor made. And then they'd go, you know, a minute and a few seconds here. They'd go almost 3 minutes here without scoring. And you just, I mean, you can't have those kind of scoring lulls and expect to be good and expect to win. And right now they're not winning and they're not very good. We'll take a quick break and we'll maybe see if there are some positives about this group. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Pony Stampede podcast and my men's basketball rant. I think the positive, again, I feel like there are too many good pieces on this team for them to be this bad. I do think something's going to click. I think Williamson will start making shots. I think hopefully Phelps matures a little bit into his role. I think at a certain point, Zach's got to find that middle ground between caring enough and caring too much and not, you know, getting down after every missed shot or everything that doesn't go his or SMU's way, because he's a better shooter than what he's shooting right now. He just is. I mean, you look at his Sam Houston numbers and, you know, that he's a guy that can score. He's a guy that can shoot a lot and make a lot. You know, and then up and down the, you know, I don't feel like there are guys playing to what they should be able to play to. Now, is that because they were overrated or they had one good year or whatever it was that, you know, makes you think, hey, this guy or this team or whatever is better than what they actually are? Maybe this is just what they are. Some of it is, you know, coaching. Is the coaching staff still not quite figuring out how to coach these guys or how to get the best out of them? You know, 9 games, it's a smallish sample size, but it's still, I mean, conference play is right around the corner. You've got 4 more non-conference games to get this figured out. And if you haven't gotten it figured out by now, are you going to get it figured out? Again, whether it's stupidity, whether it's blind hope, whatever it is, I still think that there is that possibility there, but they've just got a lot to overcome right now, and it's a frustrating watch right now. You know, I wasn't at the Jackson State game. I won't be at the TCU game for some weddings the family's going to, but I'm sure that was a frustrating watch. To watch them lose to a winless Jackson State team. And I know that because I've watched every other game that they've played this season, and I've seen those frustrating moments. You know, the end of the New Mexico game, the end of the Arizona State game, watching the end of the A&M game on TV, watching the last couple minutes at Dayton. You know, there are a lot of those, unfortunately. The good thing is, conference play hasn't started. There are 4 games until that happens. There's some practice time during the break that they'll be able to have. You know, obviously there are some NCAA rules on what they can do practice-wise, but they'll have some practice time that you don't always get in the flow of a season. And I hope that some things get better and that some things do turn around. I don't know if it's going to happen. I still think it will. I still think the fact that we haven't seen much of Xavier Foster, you know, I think what a difference he can make if you get him out on the court for even just 10 minutes a game, but certainly, you know, 20 minutes a game, just his size, his athleticism. You know, at what point do you pull the trigger on him? At what point does something finally click for Samuel Williamson? At what point does Phelps kind of start to understand his role a little better? You know, I think there are a lot of things that if they click, you start to see that positive. At the same time, 9 games in and 2 exhibitions, it hasn't clicked. There have been bad losses and it hasn't clicked. What's kind of going to be that thing that kind of gets them over the hump? And I don't know. You know, maybe some time off, a team trip to Hawaii, the Christmas break, the holiday break, being out of classes for a little bit. You know, some combination of that for the guys will get something going, going into that first, you know, January 1st conference play starts. You get Tulsa at home, then you have to go to Houston. So it certainly isn't an easy start, and there aren't going to be easy games in conference for this team. I think the conference is in a stronger position top to bottom than it's been, and obviously SMU is struggling. But, you know, you have 12 days between the TCU game and the first game in Hawaii. And then you'll have a week between that Christmas Day game in Hawaii and the conference opener Sunday afternoon on January 1st. You know, I wouldn't write this team off yet. But right now it's bad. There's no way to sugarcoat it, but I think there is still potential with this group. They just have to figure out what it is that will make it click and then make that happen. And we'll see. Saturday is going to be a tough one. And then there's going to kind of be a break to hopefully regroup, refocus, and then get to Hawaii. So we'll see. Otherwise, it could be a long couple months for the Moody faithful. But we'll see. Hopefully, we're talking about better things to come from this group in the next couple weeks. Until next time, pony up.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.